subject of Arizona's immigration law. Started
big news,
to talk
big
about
news.
That last week just a little bit.
Yep.
I guess we've got a caller there on the line.
We do have a caller.
Okay.
I think we were going to try to focus on taking callers toward the end of the show, but if you'd like to take this caller right now,
we'll try one if we don't get too far off the subject.
All right. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. Gwen, may I ask you a gun question?
Okay.
Which one of the Taurus Judge revolvers is most popular with the real judges, and do you carry those models in your store?
We don't have any right now. We do keep them from most of the time, but I don't have any right now. And what did you say? Which model was the most what?
The long barrel or the snub nose.
The most popular model, is it the long barrel or the snub nose?
The long barrel.
Long barrel's more popular, according to Wynn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys, obviously you've seen them win, and I guess, caller, you've seen them too, but they shoot 410 shells, or they'll shoot, it's 45?
Yes.
Yeah, cartridge. Yep. They're cool little pistols.
The little one's a little hard to hold on to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you shot both of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So the long barrel. There you go, caller. So anything else?
Okay, that'd be a nice garden gun to shoot those rodents. Well, y'all have a great day.
Okay.
You too.
Thanks
a lot for calling. Yeah, check out the Judge online. There's some pretty cool videos of it on YouTube. It's an interesting gun.
There is. Last week when we got started, Dave, we had a couple of callers right off the bat that asked about what I thought about the immigration law, the new immigration law in Arizona.
And it is a law.
It is a law. It's not in effect yet. I think it is comes into effect June or July.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly, but at that time I wasn't very prepared to say very much on it, but I said I would try to take some time and deal with it today, and so that's what I'm going to try to deal with. As I said, I would try to last time. I got to looking into it, and the Bible has something to say about not immigration per se, but about foreigner, or as the Bible refers to it, a stranger or a alien being in the land, and how the children of Israel were to treat the strangers among them.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I thought I would deal with that. I'll try to get to the devotion at the end of the radio broadcast, or we'll have some callers towards the end. If we don't have any callers, we'll do the devotion towards the end. But I wanted to go ahead and get right into it, because the more I looked into it, the more I found, and I wanted to share some of these things today. I thought it was really interesting, and of course it does apply to us. It affects all of us, not so much like it would the people in Arizona or New Mexico.
Somebody on a border.
California, Texas, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
But it does. It's a subject that affects all of us without a doubt. And so since last Tuesday, I've been gathering little bits of information here and there and reading on the internet and out of the newspaper. I brought an article today from Sunday's Winston-Salem Journal. There was an article in there that said Arizona and immigration, the widening chasm. And in that article, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to use this by way of introduction. It tells in that story there, and the story was by a Randall Archibald from the New York Times. And he tells a story in his article there about two different men. One, Eric Ramirez, 29 years old. He waits on the corner for work. And he is also watching for the police while he's standing there. He is nervous of what the future holds for him and others like him. And then it says in the paper that in a nearby neighborhood, there's another man, Ron White. He's 52 years old. It said in the article that he felt a sense of relief that something was finally being done concerning the illegals. And he pointed out in the article such things as congregating on the streets, home break-ins, draining tax dollars, and taking jobs from Americans. And in that article, it says that Arizona is estimated to have 450,000 illegal immigrants. Arizona is the busiest stretch of illegal crossings, or has the busiest stretch of illegal crossings. Also, I've heard that Phoenix, which is the third largest city in Arizona, is number two in the world for possibility of being kidnapped. And that's hard for me to believe. Number one is Mexico City. And number two in the world, possibility of getting kidnapped, is the city of Phoenix. I know some people that live in Phoenix. I've actually preached out there, Dave.
Have you?
And it's a beautiful city.
Well, that doesn't make me want to move to Phoenix, no.
I'll tell you what, I felt safer there. Of course, we didn't go right into downtown, and Phoenix is huge.
Right.
I mean, it just sprawls into, you know, the next city. You don't really know when you pass from one to
that
the other.
Sprawl, that.
Yeah. And but I felt safer there than I have, say, in Atlanta or Charlotte or where I've been in Florida, a few places, things like that. So, but anyway, I'm just sharing with you some of the things I've learned.
Well, that is surprising, though.
It is.
So it's the fourth most likely. What was it one more
it's,
time?
It's number two in the world.
Two?
Number two.
I thought you said four.
No, number two in the world in kidnapping.
Ugh.
And most of it is gang and drug related.
Okay.
A lot of kidnapping goes on there. I also found out this, the wait for legal authorization to immigrate from Mexico runs several years, sometimes a decade or more. So that would be disheartening if you were trying to come here legally from another country and the bureaucracy of it is years and years of waiting and paperwork
10 years.
And going back and forth. That, of course, is part of the problem. Ron White said, we can see Washington isn't going to do anything, so why not Arizona? I think Arizona is the one state with the bigger problem with it. And then I noticed, always, you can sort of test the waters by what the political cartoons are and get a good idea in this political cartoon from Sunday.
In the Winston-Salem Journal?
In the Winston-Salem Journal, it's got a Arizona police officer, and he's got his pistol pulled out. He's pointing it at the Statue of Liberty. She's got her hands in the air, and he says, drop everything and let me see some identification. So sort of, I guess, poking fun there at the law. Political cartoons, a lot of celebrities have come out and said, you know, in favor of, I guess, amnesty or against the law, against the immigration law. Shakira is one of them. And
She's Colombian.
I was getting ready to say, I can't remember where she's from, but she's very outspoken for rights, I guess you might say, and against this law. And last weekend, there was a lot of marching and protesting all across the country in different big cities. And also that goes along with May Day. May Day is a communist holiday. And if you look into it, there was marches and protests all around the world, different cities, Germany, France, burning tires and cars in the streets and all these things that go along with it. But that's just a little bit of an introduction into this. The first thing I'm going to point out today, though, and I'll get to the devotion a little bit later if we have time, but is out of Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Whenever somebody asks you a question about anything, the Bible has something to say about it. And as a Christian who looks to God's word for guidance, well, I thought, well, I'll go see what the Bible has to say about it. And, of course, the Bible does have something to say about it. Deuteronomy chapter number 10, I'm going to read just a couple of verses there, a few verses beginning in verse number 17. The Bible says, and this is to the children of Israel. And, of course, if you study about the book of Deuteronomy, they were traveling. They were strangers in the wilderness. They were leaving Egypt. God had promised them the promised land. They were held up because of sin for 40 years. But this is as they go into the land, God reminds them of the law. That's what the whole book of Deuteronomy is about. It is a reinstating of the law. So God is reminding them how they are to be when they get into the land. And verse 17 says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. And so the Lord is reminding them that he regardeth not persons. Now, I think sometimes that we in America think that God is happier with us than he is people in other countries. You know, we're Americans. It says on our money, in God we trust. But according to the Bible, God doesn't regard us above somebody from France or Mexico. It's not for God so loved America. It's for God so loved the world.
Right.
And so he regards not persons, nor taketh reward, which means you cannot bribe God. You can't come to God and say, you know, well, I done this. I'm a pretty good person. You know, I gave to this charity or I helped somebody out. He does not take a bribe or a reward. Verse number 18 says, he doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and here's what I'm getting to, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. So in God's word, God told the children of Israel, he said that they were to, love the stranger, or that God loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And I just want to say right there, from a Christian perspective, how do I look at this thing of illegal immigration, somebody being here, a foreigner, you know, you might say, well, from a biblical standpoint, I want to be a blessing to them. I'm glad they're here. It would be terrible to live in Mexico. There's a lot of crime.
I agree.
Yeah, poverty, no jobs, no work. I don't blame people for wanting to come to America. And those who come, I want them to come right, and I would like to be a blessing. You know, I don't hold that against anybody. I don't begrudge them. I think sometimes if you're conservative, people think that they accuse you of being racist or hateful or not wanting anybody to be here but us, you know, and that's not the case. We were all strangers here in America once upon a time. All of us are immigrants. Maybe not this generation, but my lineage is,
you go back a few, not that many generations.
Not that many generations. You know, my family, Scottish, English, that's my heritage on one side of the family. Wales on one side of the family, you trace it back. I mean, everybody except the Native American Indians, you know.
I was going to say that,
yeah,
but
they were here, but the rest of us. And so God says, you were strangers in the land of Egypt, so you be good to the strangers among you. So, you know, they need from a Christian viewpoint, they're here. They came here. They wanted to be here. They are here. It's not a matter of are they coming. They are here. There's a lot of missionaries we've had come by the church too, specifically that I can think of. They were starting. These are Americans starting Spanish speaking churches right here in North Carolina, because there are so many, and I don't have the number, but there are so many Spanish speaking people even here in North Carolina, and there's churches being started. You know, these are all good things, and we need to remember that we were strangers once upon a time, just like the children of Israel were strangers in the land of Egypt. So I go to the Bible, I see what the Bible says. The Bible says it ought to be a blessing, and to love the stranger and to be good to them. That's what I get from that passage of scripture.
Well, there's a lot of hospitality in the Bible of helping people out that are foreign to maybe your town or whatever, or it would be considered really rude not to offer somebody like a place to stay, or, you know, even when Jesus was born, they tried to find some place for him to stay.
Right.
Yeah.
In the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament, of course, they didn't have the Super 8.
Well, no, they didn't. Yeah. There wasn't a Howard Johnson to
and
go
so,
to.
So, you know, travelers in that day were at the mercy of the kindness of the town they were in.
Right.
And in the Bible, you know, if you invited someone into your home, you were going to feed them, you were going to protect them.
Right.
It was an honor, mm-hmm. and it was a curse to be to be rude to them and
yeah.
not be hospitable. So the Bible does have a lot to say about that. As an American, I also not only look to the Bible, but I look to the Constitution. I read a lot of articles that said, you know, this Arizona bill, it's unconstitutional. Here's what the Constitution has to say about it. I'm going to give you, and it won't take long, because the Constitution does not have very much to say about immigration. Let me say, first of all, we the people is talking about American citizens. I know some people are saying, well, what about their right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and all of these things? That the Constitution is not the world Constitution. It's the United States Constitution.
Right.
And we, the people, are talking about the legal citizens of the United States. That's who we, the people, are. So it doesn't, I have no more rights if I go to Germany as a citizen than a citizen of Germany would be to the Constitution does not apply to the foreigner.
That's a good distinction to draw.
And so that distinction does need to be made. But Article 1, Section 8 says this in the Constitution. One of the things that Congress is authorized to do, to establish an uniform rule of naturalization. That's all it says. Congress is to establish a uniform rule of naturalization, which I'm not going to go into all what, but, you know, to become a citizen, there's certain things they have to do, certain things they have to learn. They have to pass a test, and they have to take an oath. And so that is what the Constitution says about it. It says nothing else. The word immigration is not even in the Constitution.
What was it again?
It says that Congress is authorized to establish an uniform rule of naturalization.
Okay.
That's it.
Not a lot.
Not a lot. To get anything else out of the Constitution, we'd have to go to the 10th Amendment. And the 10th Amendment is the amendment that says that, I'll just read it real quick. It says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So you say, well, what does the Constitution say about it? The Constitution says that if it's not laid out in the Constitution, that it's up to the states. So Arizona is perfectly within its rights to pass this law. North Carolina, it's up to them to have their laws concerning immigration into the state there. So it's not unconstitutional. Arizona is just doing something. And they've pleaded for years that the federal government would do something, and it's such a political hot potato that they won't do anything. But I want to say today that it is not asking too much to come legally. I lived in the country of England for 3 years when I was in the Air Force, and I was there legally. I do understand what it's like to be in a foreign country and live there, and I'll tell you, even in England, an American sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, they even told us.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. You can pick out an American from a mile away. I mean, they just look different, act different. And they would tell us, you know, you got this was when the IRA and they were bombing over there and they'd set off bombs in London. And they would tell us, if you go to London, leave your ball caps, your tennis shoes, your T-shirts, fit in. They'd say, keep your mouth shut. Don't draw attention to yourself. You're going to get killed, you know.
Yeah.
It's different being in another country. And so my heart goes out. I do realize that. But it is not asking too much for people who come to this country to come legally. Think about the those who have immigrated to this country legally. They have went through the process. They have made the sacrifice. They have taken the test. They passed everything. They've been sworn in. And think about all that they went through. How do they feel? Many times, that group of people, they want people to come legally too. You know, if I went through the process, other people need to go through the process. And it's not asking too much to ask that people come legally. Let me share a little something with you. I found this yesterday in an article I was reading. The title of the article is, If You Cross the United States Border. And it said this about going into other countries. It says, if you cross the North Korean border illegally, you get 12 years hard labor. If you cross the Iranian border illegally, you're detained indefinitely. If you cross the Afghan border illegally, you get shot. If you cross the Saudi Arabian border illegally, you will be jailed. If you cross the Chinese border illegally, you may never be heard from again. If you cross the Venezuelan border illegally, you will be branded a spy and your fate will be sealed. If you cross the Mexican border illegally, you will be thrown into a political prison to rot. If you cross the U.S. border illegally, you get the right to carry your country's flag while you protest that you don't get enough respect, a job, a driver's license, a Social Security card, welfare, food stamps, credit cards, subsidized rent, or a loan to buy a house, free education, free health care, a lobbyist in Washington, billions of dollars worth of public documents printed in your language. So it's a little bit different.
It is different.
Country. Yeah. And, you know, I know that bothers a lot of people. You know, you dial some government agency, you know, the driver's license officer, whatever, and, you know, for English press one, for Spanish press two. shouldn't be that way. You come to this country, you need to learn the language. And so I thought that was interesting. But other countries have laws. If you're a fan, I've known missionaries. I have a good friend who lived in Trinidad. You talk about hoops to jump through to get to be able to go down there and serve in that country, but he had to go legally. He had to get a work visa. He had to do things the way they said to do it. I know a missionary in Canada. He's had to go through all their hoops. He has to do things legally. There is nothing wrong with having laws and obeying those laws. So I wanted to share that with you today. Political correctness is what is killing us in this country. We will take a call, you know, if you'd like to call in. We'd love to hear from you, but I'll just say a few things. One of the reasons why we have such a hard time dealing with such things in this country is because of being politically correct and being just like somebody called in last week and asked what I thought about Franklin Graham not being able to being disinvited to pray on the National Day of Prayer by the Army. So they disinvite Franklin Graham. They don't want him to come and pray because of something he had said, which is true, by the way, of the religion of Islam. So, you know, we don't want him, but we allow Major Hassan, wasn't that his name, the guy that went to Fort Hood and killed all the people?
I believe so.
For years and years, they said among themselves, you know, this fella ain't right. This fella has problems, but nobody would confront him. Nobody would say anything about it. So we let stuff like that go on and on and on because, oh, we don't want to be racially motivated. We don't want to profile anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. So we just let this stuff go on and on, and it's literally killing us. That's what I think about them disinviting Franklin Graham from coming. And also over the weekend, Dave, I don't know if you noticed it or read much about it, but the bomb scare in Times Square.
Oh, yeah. The Pathfinder parked down there crudely, a crude bomb
right
inside. Yeah.
What was it? Three propane tanks? A
couple of propane tanks. Fireworks. And
clocks. How do they know he wasn't going to a backyard barbecue?
He could have been.
I know.
Yeah.
But anyway, first thing Sunday morning, I read that. And, you know, the initial reports, here's what everybody was saying. Oh, it's bound to be another Timothy McVeigh. I mean, these Tea Partiers, they're just out of control, and there's so much violent rhetoric and blah, 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 and all of this stuff. And so that's the first reports. I read several different news agencies about it, and that's what everybody was saying. This looks like another Timothy McVeigh, mad white guy at the government. Well, come to find out. Well, they don't know everything yet, and I'll tell you, I'm quickly getting where I don't believe hardly anything I read in the lamestream media. But, you know, now this might have a foreign connection, and you didn't hear about what went on a couple of weeks ago. What the guy was, the SUV was parked across from where they produced that cartoon South Park.
Yeah.
And South Park had a skit and dressed Muhammad like a, I forget.
They didn't actually air it, I don't believe. No, they came under flak, and they're all about freedom of speech.
Yeah.
South Park is.
But they were threatened by the Muslim community
right.
not to do it.
Right.
You know, you mm-hmm. didn't hear anything about that. What you hear is this guy's a Timothy McVeigh.
But he had I did hear he was an American citizen. I think he was given citizenship like a year ago. I think he went through the process. This guy that they suspect yeah. parked the Pathfinder there, I mean, they have him.
But he had been traveling in Pakistan.
Yeah, he had. And they caught him at JFK. He was trying to get out of the country.
Okay. Hadn't heard that yet. But that's...
I do believe that is the case.
Yeah. I hadn't read anything about that this morning. I hadn't heard anything. So what about strangers in the land? That's a little bit what the Bible says, what the Constitution says. I'm all for people coming. I want them to be able to come, but I want them to come right.
So I guess it comes down to like reforming the naturalization process, maybe making it faster than 10 years.
Yes. There yeah. we have a caller on the line.
Yeah, we do have a caller.
All right.
Hello, Blessings of Liberty. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Quinn?
Doing good.
I just wanted to say that I do have my concealed permit, and when I get pulled, I don't mind at all showing it. It's part of living here. It's in the United States. We're going to show what we can. I mean, it's we have a lot of blessings, and we need to do our best to, well, I don't know how to say that.
Be legal.
Yeah, but you did do it legally. You know, you have your concealed carry, and you went through the proper chains.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got no problem with people coming across legal. That's no problem. We just need to share it.
Right.
That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you for calling.
Got about 3 minutes left. I don't know if you want to take calls or.
Yeah, if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. And I'll say while we're waiting just a minute that this is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Of course, I'm the pastor there. We are located 1128 Barrage Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you to come and visit. If you don't have a church home, and we have a lot of visitors through the summer.
Good.
And we appreciate that.
262-1567 is the number to call if you'd like to weigh in on the topic of immigration. 262-1567. Looks like we do have a caller. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Thank you. Wayne Jim Shoemaker. I just want to call and tell you I agree with you on all you're talking about this morning. I have an issue with not doing things legally. I think if you want to come to America, come in the standards we set. And I have an issue with this coexist with everybody. It just, everything is not American friendly. You know, if you're in the military or something of that nature, you're in a foreign land, you deal with that, but it's not always American friendly. So, you know, I think we just need to take care of America first and then take care of lots of other things later.
Right. We spend an absolute fortune.
I appreciate your show and your comments.
All righty. I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for the call.
Uh-huh. Bye.
262-1567. We got a little over a minute left in the show.
When I lived in England, we had July 4th off. And me and some guys, you know, we had gone downtown together, and we were just spending the day. Some guys I worked with. Of course, like I said, we stand out like a sore thumb.
Right.
Short haircuts, you know. Tennis shoes, all that kind of stuff. We were walking downtown. At that time, I thought everybody loved America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this has been over 20 years ago now. And this guy said, I guess you're out celebrating your American holiday. I mean, he just blessed us out. He was an English guy. It was really an eye-opener. Everybody loves us.
That was the first time you realized that not everybody loves America?
Yeah, I thought everybody loved
America. How old were you?
I was probably 19, 20 years old.
Whippersnapper.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Dave, for your help.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Wynn.
Yes, sir. We enjoy it. Beautiful day. Get out and enjoy it.
What you going to talk about next week?
I don't know yet.
Arizona again?
No.
No?
We'll move along.
Yeah. Well, you've been listening to Blessings of Liberty right here on AM 1450 WATA, brought to you by
Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, 1128 Barrage Creek Road.
This is WATA Boone.